Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 24, Worshipping Govardhan Hill, text number 17. Dehan Uchcha Vachanjantuhu Prapyot Srijati Karmana Satru Mitram Mudasinaha Karmaiva Guru Ishvaraha Dehan. Material bodies. Uccha. Avachan. High and low class. Jantuhu. The conditioned living entity. Prapya. Obtaining. Utsrijati. Gives up. Karmana, by the reactions of his material activities. Shatruhu, his enemy. Mitram, friend. Udasinaha, and neutral party. Karma, material work. Eva, alone. Guru, his spiritual master. Ishvaraha, his Lord. Translation: because it is karma that causes the conditioned living entity to accept and then give up different high and low grade material bodies, this karma is his enemy, friend, and neutral witness, his spiritual master and controlling Lord. Purport: even the demigods are bound and limited by the laws of karma. That Indra himself is subordinate to the laws of karma is explicitly stated in the Brahma Samhita, chapter 5, text 54. Yas twindra gopa matavindra maho svakarma bandhanu rupa phalabhajana matanu ti. The Supreme Lord Govinda awards all creatures the appropriate results of their work. This is as true for mighty Indra, the Lord of the material heavens, as it is for the germ called Indragopa. The Bhagavad Gita, chapter 7, text 20, also states, Kamais taistarita jnana prapadyante nyadevataha. Only those who have lost their intelligence because of various material desires surrender unto demigods rather than worship the Supreme Lord. In fact, the demigods cannot award benefits to anyone independently, as stated by Lord Krishna in the Gita, Mayaiva Vihitan Hi Tan. All benefits are ultimately issued by the Lord himself. Thus, it is not altogether incorrect to say that demigod worship is useless, since even the demigods are under the laws of karma. In fact, this is the case. But Lord Krishna, the Supreme Absolute Truth, is not subordinate to the law of karma. Rather, he can independently offer or withhold his favour. This is confirmed in the verse from the Brahma Samhita quoted above, the third line of which is Karma Dinirdahati Kintu Chabhakti Bhajam. The Supreme Lord burns up all the accumulated karma of those engaged in his loving service. Not only is Lord Krishna above the laws of material action and reaction, but he can immediately dissolve these laws for anyone who satisfies him through loving service. Thus the Almighty God is supreme in absolute freedom, and by surrendering to him we can escape the bonds of karma and stop accepting their dismal rule as supreme. We'll read the next verse. Tasmat sampuja yet karma svabhavasta svakarma krit Anjasa jena varteta tad evasya hidaivatam. Therefore, one should seriously worship work itself. A person should remain in the position corresponding to his nature and should perform his own duty. Indeed, that by which we may live nicely is really our worshipable deity. Sounds familiar? Purport. Lord Krishna here proposes the modern, if absurd, philosophy that our work or occupation is really God and that we should therefore simply worship our work. Upon close scrutiny, we observe that our work is nothing more than the interaction of the material body with material nature. As Lord Krishna himself states in a more serious mood in the Bhagavad Gita chapter 3, 28, Guna, Guneshu, Vartanta. Karma, Mimamsa philosophy accepts that good activity in this life will give us a better next life. If this is true, there must be some type of conscious soul different from the body. And if that is the case, why should a transcendental soul worship the interaction of the temporary body with material nature? If the words sampujayet karma here mean that one should worship the laws of karma governing our activities, then one may astutely ask what it means to worship laws, and indeed what might be the origin of such laws and who is maintaining them. To say that laws have created or are maintaining the world is a meaningless proposition, since there is nothing about the nature of a law that indicates it could generate the existential situation it is supposed to govern. In fact, worship is meant for Krishna himself, and this real conclusion will be clearly revealed in this chapter. Om Agyanatimirandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshu Unmilitam Jena Tasmaye Sri Guruve Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Sthapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadakti Svapadantikam Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langhayate Grim Yat Kripa Tamaham Bande Sri Gurum Dinatarinam. Right. So, we discussed yesterday Svabhav, or the characteristic of a person as being influenced very strongly by the, as soon as the battery, we've got to make sure these batteries are put into the charger at the end of the program, because the only reason why we get that feedback is because the batteries don't have power. Well, it's now on the red. There isn't a battery in there that's just a plain old battery. Might have a bit of charge in it. Just have a quick look. That one's just been put in 5 minutes ago, so it's going to last for 2 minutes. Switch this off. Svabhava, one's quality or one's characteristics. Give it a try. Well, miracles can happen. Yes. Svabhava. Svabhavanika. The nature of a person and their behaviour is very much a result of one's past activities. And so, as a result, one is forced to then accept certain reactions as a result of those activities. But then, as is pointed out in the next verse, that karma is not the be-all and end-all of existence. Because, as we were discussing yesterday, karma is not an eternal, unchangeable, fixed aspect of the creation, as are the other features, as are described in the Bhagavad Gita. Time, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the living entity and the material nature, they're all fixed in that their qualities and their characteristics will always remain the same. But karma, by its very nature, is a changeable feature of the creation. And of course, that's by changing our action or by changing our karma, we can actually change our swabhava or our nature. Actually, our original swabhava, as is pointed out by Prabhupada many times, our swabhava is not based on material considerations, but rather it is based on our being a servant. Right? We are actually eternally a servant. Nityara Krishna Das, or Dasi, however you look at it. That's our qualification. As we were discussing yesterday, we have a choice. We can choose to serve Krishna directly or we can choose to serve Krishna indirectly. The indirect method is given for those who want to exercise their independence and to act separately from Krishna, apparently separately from Krishna. So therefore the material world is created. To give people an opportunity to act in a way that's actually an illusion. It's actually illusory. As I mentioned, we're all servants. And this fact is borne out by many examples. In order to seek happiness, then we engage in the service of so many personalities. Here, the residents of Vrindavan are engaging in the service of Indra in order to appease him. Why? So that the rains can come. From the rains, the grains will grow. From eating the grains and drinking the water, they'll enjoy life. Right? This is the reasoning given. And this is why the demigods are worshipped. But, you know, in this day and age, demigods are not worshipped. People go to work, get a job, which is the next thing that Krishna recommends. We should actually worship work itself. You know, because by working, we get paid. And by getting paid, we can then enjoy. So actually, it's the work that produces the results, not worshipping the demigods. Interesting philosophy. One that's embraced in the modern age. But our service attitude is perfected when it's engaged directly in Krishna's service. And you know, Prabhupada gives many points to illustrate this fact of servitorship. We serve our husbands, we serve our wives, we serve the government, we serve our family, we serve our friends. And as Prabhupada points out, in absence of service, we'll, you know, get a dog. Right? And Prabhupada gives this classes from the Bhagavad Gita that I'm listening to at the moment. Prabhupada says, you serve a dog and then you walk around waiting for your dog to pass stool. Then you pick up his stool for him. Prabhupada says, you know, this is ridiculous. It's the antithesis. And so here Prabhupada would play on the word God and dog. Right? Get it all back to front. Instead of serving God, what do? You end up serving dog and pick up his stool when he passes the stool. I mean, you know, that's a very dedicated sign of service when you think about it. Yeah. If somebody's so dedicated to your service that they'll clean up your stool after you, that's shows a high level of dedication and commitment, surrender. But it underlines the point. And, you know, if you don't serve a dog, then people get goldfish or whatever, budgerigars and other personalities to serve. So the service mood is within everybody. It's our inherent quality. Like Prabhupada says, it's like liquidity is to water. Wetness is to water. Although, in a perverted state, water can lose its liquidity, right? And its wetness when it becomes ice, right? Ice is not the natural state of water, but when water is in its unnatural state of ice and it loses its liquidity and its wetness, so that instead of being liquid, ice is very hard. Right? Exactly the opposite. So, in an unnatural position or in our unnatural state, we lose our natural qualities of service to Krishna, and that service then becomes perverted in all of the different types of service that we find in the material realm. But in order to be fully satisfied and properly situated, we actually have to be reinstated back into that engagement of service to Krishna. And then, as I mentioned yesterday, even though the effect of our past reactions is very strong and very powerful, still, Krishna is more powerful. The process of devotional service is more powerful. And so consequently, the reactions, that swabhava, or that personality that we've acquired as a result of lifetimes in the material world, all of the knots or the chains that bind us as a result of those karmas, serving the wrong masters, can be cut through the process of devotional service. Kamani nidahati kintu jabakti bhajam. It's mentioned here. Krishna is above the laws of material nature. He's the controller of the material energy. Daivihi esha gunamayi mama maya jarataya. The material energy is my potency, Krishna says. But Krishna is not controlled by that potency. He is the controller of that potency. So if, when we take shelter of Krishna, then the material energy is... The control that the material energy would normally exert on the living entity, and the effect of our past karmas that would ordinarily dictate the way we would act, it's removed, it's released. We can be released, even though it's very difficult. But Krishna says, if you surrender to, what is it? Mayami tam tarantite. If we surrender to Krishna, then Krishna releases us from the effects of the material energy. So, now Krishna is saying, here's the argument. Here's Krishna's argument. There is no need to worship the demigods. The demigods are also, like us, bound by the effects of their past karma. And so there's this interesting statement here. The effects of our karma cause us to accept and then give up different types of situations, different material bodies, so sometimes high, sometimes low. So therefore, this karma is our enemy, our friend, the neutral witness, our spiritual master, and our controlling Lord. This is Krishna's statement. Right? So we should worship the karma, right? The activities, because it's our karma to whom we're indebted. He's neglecting to emphasize the independence of the living entity and the possibility, the inevitable possibility, that we can surrender to Krishna and be relieved of our karma. Because it's interesting that while Krishna is emphasizing that we just perform our duty and act, actually what he's recommending is that the devotee should surrender to him. Then he says in the next verse, in text 18, therefore one should seriously worship work itself. A person should remain in the position corresponding to his nature and should perform his own duty. Indeed, that by which we may live nicely is really our worshipable deity. So, worship work, which is what people do today. Worship work. In fact, you know, people work so hard, practically speaking, they don't have time to do anything else. Right? When you think about it, people really do worship work. As is being pointed out in the purport here, work is nothing more than the interaction of the material body with material nature. That's work. It's just the body working. So how can we get any satisfaction from that? And as is pointed out here, if the work is simply just the interaction of the material body with the modes of material nature, then who has created it? And what's its purpose? It must have some purpose, and it must have somebody who's in charge of it. So just working for work's sake is senseless. It doesn't make sense. Vidyananda Maharaj makes this point here. If we work in the correct way in this life, that will give us a better life. That's the Karma Mimamsa philosophy. But he makes the point here, who's going to enjoy it? Who's enjoying the work? Who's going to enjoy the results of the future activities? It has to be the soul. And so therefore the soul is different from the body. And if that is the case, why should a transcendent soul worship work in and of itself? It doesn't make sense. If the words sampujayat karma here mean that one should worship the laws of karma governing our activities, then one may astutely ask what it means to worship laws and who is the controller, who is the creator of those laws. So, Krishna is recommending a somewhat soulless approach to life. Actually, he's just teasing the residents of Vrindavan, because he wants them to give up the worship of Indra. He doesn't want them to perform the sacrifice for the pleasure of Indra, but rather he wants the sacrifice performed for his own pleasure and ultimately for the pleasure of the devotees. To say that laws have created or are maintaining the world is a meaningless proposition. since there is nothing about the nature of a law that indicates it could generate the existential situation it is supposed to govern. In fact, worship is meant for Krishna himself, and this real conclusion will be clearly revealed in this chapter. He's repeating himself. So the real satisfaction, or the real generation, if you like, of the Swabhava, or the natural personality of the spirit soul, is for the living entity to engage the mind and the senses in work, but the work has to be focused on pleasing Krishna, not just performing work for work's sake, right? Otherwise, we see people perform work for work's sake, or actually they don't perform work for work's sake, they perform work for dollars, right? That's why they worship work. And the work then gives them money, and from the money comes sense gratification, right? But even, as we've discussed, even when people work, they get money, still, ultimately, they're not happy. They work hard for the things that they think will make them happy, but then when they get them, they're not satisfied. Actually, I was amazed yesterday floating around the Melbourne harbour at the wealth. You know, we saw a side of life that you don't sort of get to see living here in Albert Park. You know, there's this marina down near the Herald and Weekly Times called Pier 35. You may have seen it when you drive over the bridge. You can look down and there's this big yellow and blue sign and it says Pier 35. I always wondered what Pier 35 was. Well, yesterday I discovered it. It's where the wealthy go and play. And they got these huge yachts. Huge yachts that they float around the bay in, drive up and down. But one of the things that I noticed, about pretty much every single one of the boats was men and women standing around with glasses in their hands. Right, so I was thinking, you know, this to me is not very satisfying. You know how you feel after, well, maybe you don't know how you feel, but for those of us who have experienced the feeling of having been drinking all weekend, you know, that's their pleasure. But actually it's not pleasure, it's suffering. It's actually, you know, working very, very hard. And, you know, some of these boats, I asked one of the crew hands, you know, because they had one of those used boat books. You know, they have used car books, you've got used boat books. And I said to him, how much do you reckon some of these boats are? And he said, well, one of those small ones over there is $80,000. And one of the big ones must be $250,000. Huge boats. This way they work very, very hard, and then float around the bay drinking. And then at the end of the weekend having a big hangover. But then having to go back to work again. And as Les said to me, he said, most of these people are heavily in debt. So, you know, this is working for work's sake. And then not really enjoying. At least not from the point of view of the devotees. And then we were coming back from the class that Maharaj had given, and the devotees were having a big kirtan and jumping up and down and really enjoying themselves. And then all of the other people in their boats were looking at the devotees enjoying like anything. Jumping up and down, dancing and having a good time. And Les said, they're probably wondering, gee, look at all of these people having a great time. So anyway, it's interesting how working for Krishna, living simply, and working for the pleasure of Krishna's senses ultimately brings pleasure to us. It's very simple. Whereas I didn't see the people standing on the back of the boats drinking, jumping up and down and raising their hands in the air and having as much good time as the devotees were having. So I was quite amazed, actually, the wealth. One of the devotees pointed out to me, he said, I've been watching this Pier 35, there's a helicopter bay. He said, within the last 15 minutes, there have been 10 helicopters come fly in and out. I mean, that's big dollars, big wealth. People work hard for that, but then all they do is waste their weekends drinking on the back of the boat. Sad in many respects. And, you know, as we were discussing yesterday, people may be getting the results of their good karma. They are getting the results of their good karma and enjoying in one sense, but the nature in which they're enjoying means that in the future, more bad karma, actually. It's ephemeral. It's illusory. It doesn't last. And so then, what does it mean? It means in the future, destination unknown. Which was an interesting point that Maharaj was making yesterday in his class. You know, how many of us like to live in a situation where we don't know where we're going next? He was making the point of how when you rent a house, right, and you know that your lease is coming up, you like to know where your next destination is going to be. You make plans to secure a lease on a new house, right? But people act, you know, we've got the lease on this residence, the material body, which we know will end, but nobody works in a way to secure their next lease on their new residence. Except for the devotees, of course. So people working hard, worshipping work to get the dollars to enjoy their sense gratification, but not knowing where they're going to be in the future. In reality, not knowing where they're going to end up. And as Prabhupada points out, this is the deepest, darkest of ignorance. This is Kali Yuga. People living in the deepest darkness of ignorance, not knowing where they're going to end up in the future. Therefore, the necessity for preaching Krishna consciousness so that people can understand. As I mentioned the other day, it is possible for us to know where we've come from. We get a pretty good idea of where we've come from by just studying where we are now. It is not very difficult because one has to rise up to a certain level of goodness. One has to have a certain amount of goodness in their lives, or in our case, devotional service, to be able to perceive what is my nature? You know, who am I? This self-realization. Self-realization means understanding who am I, what factors, what influences have brought me to what I am now. Right? And then, as a result of knowing who we are now, what are the influences and factors that have created us, the personality that we are, the attachments, right, to material things, our aspirations to make advancement in spiritual life and devotional service. We can analyse those things in the association of devotees with the help of the spiritual master. We can then determine, okay, what do I need to do now to get to the required destination? It's not very difficult, actually. It's not very difficult for us to ascertain who am I, what are my characteristics, what are my tendencies, what is my nature, and how should I engage that nature in devotional service so that I can be elevated to the spiritual realm at the end of this body. It is actually not very difficult to do, although it requires, it requires all of the things that people do to be successful in work. Right? It requires focus, it requires dedication, it requires good association. Very important. Good association and proper engagement. Not that we just work for work's sake, but rather we work for our purification. That's the real purpose of work. Huh? The real purpose of work, okay, we have to fill the belly. Huh? We have to clothe ourselves. We have to have some form of sense gratification. These things are required. But in terms of how we do that in devotional life, we can satisfy all of the material things, but at the same time, the working should be done in such a way so that material needs are satisfied, but our spiritual needs are enhanced. In other words, our consciousness is becoming purified. Very important. So therefore, in the association of devotees, I was reading in the sixth canto of the Bhagavatam the other day, Prabhupada says, good association and studying the scriptures is the means by which we can learn how to work properly, right? And control our material tendencies, if you like. The material tendencies have to be curbed, or shall we say, engaged in a positive way, so that rather than becoming contaminated by our work, we actually become purified and liberated. So by careful analysis of who we are, our swabhav, from the conditioned point of view, we can then engage those characteristics in devotional service so that we can uncover who we really are, our swabhava from the spiritual point of view. Bhava in one sense means mood, or mood is one way to describe it. Actually, the original mood of the living entity, as I mentioned before, is we're a servant. Nichara Krishna Das. Actually, we're eternally a servant of Krishna. So therefore, our engagements in devotional service are meant to free us from the coverings of our material conception of who we are, and reawaken or uncover our original identity as Krishna's servant. Not difficult to do. I shouldn't say not difficult to do. It is simple to do, although it has its challenges. But it can be done. It's not impossible. So ultimately, that's what Krishna will recommend, that one's work should be performed in such a way so that it is pleasing to Krishna. But here, for the time being, he's teasing the residents of Vrindavan with this nonsense philosophy. So, does anybody have any comments or questions on these points? Yes, Simon.
You were mentioning the people drinking on the back of yachts.
Yeah.
I was thinking of Rene Rifkin. So much wealth, and he needed to take anti-depression medication.
He ended up committing suicide, to be honest, yes. Yeah, good example of, so yeah. Work hard, high stress levels, high debts, high risks, and, you know, next lifetime, this lifetime walking the dog, next lifetime being the dog.
Okay, sir. When
a what?
When we're going to require rivers.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
When you go down near Brighton, there are the dog beaches.
The dog beaches?
The dog beaches is where the sewage comes out, because the people won't swim there, and that's where the dogs go and swim. And then we're kind of amazed because all the dog owners are in there, obviously, you know, sewage water with the dogs that are swimming.
Dog eat dog. Dog be dog. Here, doggy. Actually, you get a... You can... Sometimes, if I haven't finished off all of my rounds, I like to go walking down to the gasworks park, to the doggy park, and it's quite amazing the people down there and how dedicated people are to their dogs. And they're also dedicated to their children. See, all it really illustrates is, you know, the service. When you think about it, it's the natural tendency to want to render service. And, you know, dogs are actually quite nice characters because, you know, they're very faithful, obedient. They'll do whatever you ask them to do. They're quite they reciprocate quite nicely. They rarely get on your case. But you do it, you know, they're quite pliant when it comes to a friend, if you like. But it was a contrast to see how the devotees were enjoying. Quite happy and enthusiastic. It's quite spontaneous. And people were amazed to see how enthusiastic, you know, they're sitting in their boat, sitting back, relaxing, all of a sudden this big Hari Nam party comes past on the boat. Quite funny, really. But they appreciate it. It was interesting, you know, they get enlivened also when they see lots of people. And it was interesting to see the effect that the association of the devotees had on the three young crew members on the boat. They actually really appreciated it. They took prasadam and then, you know, they were sort of bopping along with the kirtan too. Very enjoyable. Okay. I think we should finish here. Gantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.